Welcome to Pod Sing Se, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast, where every week we watch and discuss episodes of Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm your host, Jen, joined by my co-hosts, Steph, Abby, and Nicole. Today we'll be discussing Book 3, Chapter 4, Sokka's Master. From the Avatar Wiki, after the rest of Team Avatar saves a town from destruction by a meteorite, Sokka feels left out as he is the only person in the group unable to bend. He finds a sword master named Pian Dao to help further his skills as a warrior, forging his own sword out of the meteorite. He and his friends realize just how important he is to their group. Meanwhile, Iroh devises a plan to escape prison and start bodybuilding in secret.
Alright, so I liked this a lot more than I think past Jen did, because past Jen was like not about Sokka at all, and I feel like, as we've discussed on this show, I know at least for me, I don't want to speak for everybody else, but like Sokka definitely is a character I find a lot more like endearing, and I appreciate like the different sides of him a lot more. And obviously like this episode really is like super solid for him and his development.
Yeah.
But before that, can we just talk about Iroh? Like, right away? It's like, we'll talk a lot about Sokka. We'll just throw in a little.
Like, yeah.
No, but like, hold up.
Just acknowledge. We have to talk about it.
Let's just quickly, like, I just want to talk about the B plot first, just because, like, oh damn.
There's not a lot going on, but damn.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, I was just like, do I find him attractive? No, I'm kidding.
Whoa. Damn.
I appreciated his work ethic and his abs, but like I can do that without, you know, there being anything more to it.
Yeah, please. I'm not ready for that conversation.
No, I'm not. I'm not there.
Though I was kind of like, wow, Pian Dao could get it. Like,
you know what? You fucking hypocrite.
But it's like different because he's not like a grandpa. Like.
He might be a grandpa.
Yeah, he could be. But he looks not as...
He's just a grandpa who aged very well.
He doesn't look as old as Iroh does. But anyway, Iroh, I just love the transition of the guard being like, look what you've become. And then he just like throws his shirt off and is like, yeah, look at me.
I could not. It was so funny.
He forgot the pillow that he had been like hiding his like fitness. Because yeah. I feel like they'd expect him to slim down in prison, but like not like this. So
yeah. And not, like, bulk up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just, like, I don't know. The whole, like, it's, I don't want to call it, like, a game. Because it's not, like, a game that he's playing. But, like, what he's doing to, like, trick the guards.
Yeah.
Into thinking that he's, like, slowly losing it.
I was thinking how, if I didn't know already, like, the rest of the segments featuring him, I felt like that first scene of him, like, you know, where he was just, like, it was, like, upsetting. To, like, see him, because he did, you know, obviously, like, he's playing the part well, like, he's, like, a broken, senile old man. In that moment, I just was like, oh, that must be, like, actually sad to, like, feel that way, and then to be treated this way, and then be still, like, cognizant to, like, recognize, like, wow, this person is treating this, like, old person horribly,
yeah.
Like, prison, you know, it's not surprising.
Right.
So that was, like, I was like, oh, this is really sad. But he's a man with a plan.
And even when you think about, he was the crown prince at one point, too. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of layers, I feel like.
Yeah. It's like they grew up idolizing him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, his fall from grace was, like, not murdering a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Bad role model.
Bad role model. He protected a 12-year-old. How dare he?
The only note I have about Iroh is, if Iroh can work out, then so can I.
Don't lie.
So... Yeah,
Nicole.
It is true.
Well, you know, like, I meant that more about myself. As a blanket statement, that is a lie.
Yeah, I feel like of the four of us, if I had to pick someone who would actually stick to working out, it would be Abby. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I am a little motivated right now because I'm going to be in a wedding next month. And the dress that I got as a bridesmaid fit 3 weeks ago. And as of Wednesday, it no longer zips.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So this is just the episode I needed. To be like, I need to get it together.
The motivation.
You need to find, I'm sure somebody has like an hour loop of all the Iroh exercises set to like Avatar inspired lo-fi, like chill hop, workout music.
I was going to say, just like print out a picture of him and like hang it up on your mirror and just be like.
Oh my God, if anyone sees it out of context.
Do it for him. Abby, I want you to be able to eat a pear while doing a one-handed pull-up.
He was doing so many moves that I was like, I can't do a sit-up right now.
He was doing push-ups like in a handstand.
Like, yeah.
I know. And then the push-ups with, like, the claps. I was like, this is too much. This is too much.
It is interesting because, like, even when he was, like, I don't know. I guess, like, it really took this, like, moment for him to be, like, I have to get fit. Because it's, like, the whole time up till now, like, he, you know, he wasn't on the run per se. But it's, like, he was in a position where it probably wouldn't have hurt for him to have been a little bit more fit. Mm-hmm. But I guess, like, he didn't need to. I'm not here to judge his, like, life choices. Now he's doing it because he's plotting his, like, escape and whatnot.
Right.
I feel like, especially in quarantine and, like, the pandemic, he's making me feel especially guilty. Because it's, like, you know, I feel like all the jokes are coming out now that the vaccine is like, more accessible, at least in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's just like, oh, so how did everybody's, like, King Lear adaptation go, you know, whatever. Everyone's like, what's everybody's quarantine skill that they said they were gonna learn? Or people are already talking about losing, like, their quarantine weight, which I do not like. But, like, it's already, like, I'm seeing it and I'm just like, I don't like this.
Yeah, I thought about the same thing. It's like, oh, the productivity of it all. And it's like, no, we're in a weird mental state right now, and we should not force ourselves to be productive. But Iroh's story didn't make it better.
I'm here in this, like, traumatic situation, but it's like I'm still just living my life in my apartment, you know, relatively stable.
Right.
And then, like, Iroh's also in a traumatic moment, but, like, he's in a jail cell being fed who knows what kind of, like, one meal a day, maybe even, and half of it's being thrown on the floor and, like, wasted because that guy is a total fucking dick.
Yep.
I'm just like, where is Serena Williams? When will she be here?
I know. I had the thought. I was like, Serena Williams, where are you? Help this poor man.
I guess, like, for those of you who aren't aware yet, like, eventually his guard is gonna, I guess, like, he's replaced or it's, like, a different shift, but, like, the tennis star Serena Williams voices the woman guard who's, like, nice to Iroh. It's, like, a fun fact slash cameo.
Yeah.
So we're just like, where is she?
I remember seeing her tweeting something one time, like, some sort of, like, fan question about Avatar. And then someone was, like, trying to at her, like, who does Serena Williams think she is? She's trying to pretend that she's down with the kids.
Oh, that's cute.
People were like, you know, she was literally in the show.
Yeah.
That makes me think of that picture of, like, Natalie Portman with the Star Wars shirt on.
Oh, my God. And people are just like, this fake Star Wars fan. And it's just like, bruh. Gosh, just like, first of all, don't at people who were in the fucking thing. Second of all, like, you don't age out of fandom if you don't want to age out of fandom.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jen. Adult women are not allowed to be fans of anything.
We can't still like cartoons.
It's like you hit 25 and you're just not allowed to exist anymore.
Like, you can't have fun.
25? I was thinking, like, you know, 16.
Oh my gosh. Good job, Iroh.
Yeah. What an inspiration.
Honestly. All right. I have to say, because Stephanie brought him up, Piendo.
Yeah, Piendo.
I honestly did not like his voice. I don't know who they cast. I didn't look it up or anything, but I just, like, I didn't feel like the voice fit the person. I felt like, I don't know if he had, like, it's not even like he had an accent or something. It's just, like, the way that
it's the cadence.
Yeah, yes, thank you. Like, it just didn't feel like what I wanted. And I was sitting there and I was like, am I mad because I wanted, like, you know, kind of the cliche old Asian man with the fucking Fu Manchu beard? I was like, no, I just, like, it didn't feel like old enough, I guess. Like, but it wasn't looking for, like, an accent or anything. It just felt like he felt, like, too casual about everything. And I was just like, this guy is, like, probably, like, I don't know if he's the leader of the White Lotuses. He certainly, like, reps it everywhere in his fucking house.
Literally everywhere.
Like, everywhere. Yeah, but I was like, and, like, clearly he's got money. And, like, status and whatnot. But But it was, like, not a big deal. But I just was like, oh, I've never really had an issue with, like, a voice.
Well, you know, Jen, he's just, like, one of those ballers. He's made it so big, he can just do whatever he wants. He can be as casual as ever. He can go to work in, like, a sweatpants and...
He retired at 35, okay?
No, like... for real. He could, like, take an entire, like, 2 days off to randomly train this kid who showed up at his door. Like, he had nothing else to do those days.
Yeah. I mean, they say he turns everybody away, so he's just, like,
just vibing.
Doing whatever he wants. Like,
he's literally just sitting in his house, like, doing calligraphy in front of his, like, gigantic wall window.
Yeah.
I mean...
he's living the life. And then, you know, also participating in, like, a secret society, but, you know, like, on the DL.
So also, this character, I feel like... I'm like, part of the reason he's so attractive, but I was like, let's not set ourselves up for this.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But no, but I was gonna say, he's modeled after Sifu Kisu. who is like the martial artist who was like the main martial arts consultant for the show and was the one who like developed the different martial arts styles for the different types of bending. So yeah, he was based off of that guy. So there's a real version of him in the world.
That's like the main reason I almost didn't say that I thought he could get it. But I was like, Jen made a comment about Iroh, so like, why not?
I mean, Iroh was always like, he's like canonically like a flirt who like, he definitely gets it in his age group. Like, you know, just good for him. Living his best life.
Oh, God. I just want to say, what happened to the itinerary, Sokka?
Stop. I wrote the first thing about that, too. That was my first ass bullet point.
I was like, we're allowed to ignore the schedule when it benefits you, huh?
The audacity.
Not pictured. They flew so far to get away from the poisonous lake village that he was like, wow, we're like a week ahead of schedule now.
Yo, that's true. They keep delaying the schedule. But like, yeah, like Stephanie, I think, pointed out last week, it's like they still arrive like 4 days early to the to like the fight.
They continue taking side quests and they still get there early.
What's on the itinerary, Sokka? Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing, you hypocrite? But like, you know, I'm happy for him.
Maybe they did have destination points. He charted a course based on, like, restaurants. He was like, this place has really great smoked sea slugs. We gotta go there.
Oh, man.
Side note, that scenery was really beautiful. I think it was based off of, like, real villages in East Asia. I don't know where specifically. I did not look it up. But it's, like, outdoor patio scenery, and then you see these waterfalls. And I was like, people live in areas like this.
Yeah.
That's so cool. America would never.
No. I don't think we deserve it anyway. Even if we got our shit together.
So true.
Like what Jen was saying before about like liking Sokka, I feel like I always liked him, but it was in more of a like, oh, Sokka kind of way, like back in the day. And we've talked about it where this time I'm like, wow, I love him so much.
Yeah.
He's so relatable. And like, especially in this episode, like so relatable. Just thinking like, you know, I don't contribute anything, and you look around at your peers and you're like, everybody is like so good at what they do. I don't know. I just have so much appreciation for his character.
Yeah. I like how like full of contradictions he is.
Mm-hmm. Not to get into like literally the end of the episode, but like I appreciated that the moral wasn't like, oh, he learned this skill and therefore now he's like worth something. It was like he got praised for all of the characteristics he already had.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? That was a very powerful message. It was like he didn't see the worth in himself because he was comparing it to standards that isn't fair to him.
Yeah.
Right.
He was always bringing something to the table. That's something in our podcast we always discuss and called out. But it's kind of like, I don't know. The more visible things is the benders and the hero. What did Toph say? She's like, oh, I miss being like praised as
hero. Like the hero worship.
Yeah. And I feel like Sokka never really got that. It was kind of just, I'm the auxiliary person to this like heroic trio of people. And that can weigh on you a lot, especially if those are the only people you're with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's also when he's talking at the beginning about his insecurity and stuff, it's very much you think about the fact that people, including the gang, have been constantly making these sort of like, you know, 3+ Sokka kind of comments the whole time. Yeah. And comments like that, it's sort of like, even if you can usually laugh it off, they get to you. I was like, why are you calling me out personally? Stop.
For me, I loved his, like, growth. Like, from the beginning of the series, you know, waterbending was this, like, weird, like, witchcraft thing. Like, he didn't understand that his weird sister did, and she was bad at it, and every time she did it, something bad happened to him. And, like, to be fair, that was, like, his only sample of that thing. So I get why he was like, this is, like, I don't see how this is useful. And then, obviously, as the show progresses, like, we've commented even, like, that test that he did where he drove the boat. He, like, sailed the boat. You know, like, that was one of the times where we noted that Sokka used their bending, like, as, you know, as a leader, like, you know, factored that into his strategizing and, like, really utilized it in, like, an interesting, like, creative way and started to see it in, like, a better way. And, like, that, like, evolution to now where he's, like, it's, like, a point of, like, not contention, but, yeah, there's, like, an insecurity that he has of now, like, realizing, like, oh, these are, like, these amazing special people. they can create all of this mass change in like our society. And like, I am not part of that, even though he's kind of been like the architect of like them actually using that stuff in like an efficient way. And he can't see that. And I totally relate to that. And I feel like, I mean, again, it's like this particular series doesn't really comment on the inherent privilege of bending and like being a bender in society. And I feel like obviously like, again, season one of Korra, that's like, you know, a huge core of that season one. But I feel like this is kind of the first like hard glimpse we get of it. It's still like pretty shallow like that. They don't really dive into that specifically, but like it's there and like it's interesting to see it.
And like he's always contributed to the group.
Yeah.
But it's like all the ways that he contributes are so much less visible.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I get like he's a punchline for like putting out a fire, but like he's the only one that ever has an actual concrete plan, even whether or not it works or not. Like it's usually not even his fault if it works or not.
Yeah.
It's usually like other factors.
I did like that the plot with the rest of the gang was just them sitting around missing Sokka. They were like, "What do we do with our lives all day? I don't know. Sokka usually tells us, like..."
Oh my god.
That's very true.
Oh my god. And then Aang fucking... What is it? Katara said, like, a joke, and Aang was just like, "I guess humor doesn't run in the family."
He also was like, when he was trying to make a joke, was like, "Look at Katara's hair. What's up with that?" I'm like, "Aang, what are you doing?"
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, Katara's never looked better. Like,
yeah. Like, yes,
he's
actually
just reprising his, like, digging a grave for himself
from a the hole secret again. Tunnel. Like, "I'd rather be dead than kiss you." Just like, bitch, what are you doing?
No, he said he would rather kiss her than die.
Oh, that's a compliment.
Important distinction.
Yes, that's fair.
You know, speaking of Katara in that scene, so that line that she says when she sits down next to Sokka and she's like, "I'm sorry that you're feeling so down, but I hope you know that none of us see you that way." So, like, that is the kind of platitude that I feel like I hear all the time, and it's the kind of platitude that I give to people because I don't know what else to say and I don't know what else I would like to hear. But I do know that when I do hear it or say it, it feels very ineffectual. I don't know what would be a better thing to say. Asking for real life advice right now, but like,
yeah, no, that's fair.
I feel like it's hard because, like, no matter how much like your friends or your peers can tell you, like, "No, like, you have worth," or like, "You can try to logic it out for yourself," I think it does make a big impact when somebody who is like a master in a field or something, like someone who's older than you and more experienced, can say basically the literal same things that your friends tell you. But it means more, because I don't want to say like you don't trust your friends tell you the truth, but it's also like they're your friends, so maybe they like have a bias towards you or like whatever. Like, of course you don't think I'm useless, like you're my sister. You know, so I don't really have an answer for you, Nicole. I don't think there's really anything.
No,
that,
I just
like,
mean in general, like I'm like sharing my opinion on this scene without having any concrete follow-up or conclusion. I just know that she said it and I was like, eh.
Yeah, I was like, it doesn't help, like Aang and Katara are definitely those friends that are too nice. Not that that's a bad thing. You know what I mean, though, in this context?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I feel like Toph would be the person. I mean, Toph is, like, the one right away that, like, it didn't feel like a joke as much as at the beginning she was serious when she was like, "Oh, the three of us. Oh, I didn't count him." Because, like, I feel like Toph is a little bit of just, like, yeah, like, bending supremacy kind of thing. Like, not in, like, a racist way or something, but she's just like, yes, like, this is the thing that gives me power in this world. He doesn't have it, therefore he doesn't have, like, the ultimate, like, thing in this world. Or, like, he doesn't have a means to get it. And, like, that's kind of weird. And I get why someone would be insecure about that.
Right. I mean, she prides herself so much on her bending, and she bases pretty much her entire identity off how good she is at it.
Yeah.
Because without it, she's like, everyone has this view of her as helpless, and she's like, "I'm not helpless. I'm an earthbender. I'm the greatest earthbender ever." So, like, she would like contradict herself if she turned around then and was like, "No, you have just as much value as me."
Yeah.
Which is hard. I feel bad saying that out loud right now.
Yeah, but it's true. Yeah, and that's what I feel like. It's like hard to talk about her without making her sound like a dick, but it's like, yeah, it's like her actions are like, that's what it is. Yeah, like she puts so much value in it. Even Katara does. Like there was a, you know, when Ty Lee took away Katara's bending, just like she lost a part of herself in that moment and it was horrifying. And like water bending was such a huge part of her identity. And like, it's mm-hmm. such a huge part of her like trauma. And, like, everything else, too. And I feel like that's probably, like, everybody's relationship to it. And, like, he, like, just, like, he has FOMO. It's like, I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Even Momo was better at putting out fire than him.
Momo was better at putting out fire. Oh. Momo was efficient.
Momo was very efficient.
I'm still thinking about your question or like your point, Nicole. It's kind of like, well, this is what helps me, right? When I'm feeling insecure about stuff, I've noticed that I felt better when people came with examples of the thing that I'm most insecure about. It's like, oh, I'm so upset about how I can't do this thing, or I feel like I'm not good enough for this reason. And then friends are like, oh, no, but you've been able to do it this way. Because I feel like once you get in your head about the things you can't do, it's hard to remember the times when you're able to do it. And I feel like in this instance, like we've called out how helpful he has been. Like if Katara at that moment in time was able to think of an example where Sokka actually was helpful and have those skills that the master called out later on in the episode, that might have helped him. Because then it's less of like a platitude and it's less of an empty statement. Because now you're coming with like concrete evidence that can help someone come to the realization that you do have the things that you're doing. Obviously it depends on what they're insecure about. But I feel like there's enough that we've seen from Sokka's end, especially in like the library and stuff.
Yeah.
Where he does bring value. But maybe part of this is when he's not there, they feel his absence. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that was part of that lesson for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like they like took how much weight he pulls on the team for granted because it's not as big and showy as them. And it's not like, oh, yeah, I stopped this volcano. I stopped this fire. I like made this flood disappear. I cleaned up this river, where his stuff is like those like smaller contributions. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, is this, I'm like, what's like a job equivalent of this? And I'm just like, I feel like for me working in film, I'm just like, is this like a PA who has to like put out 1,000 little fires and, you know, but it's not like a big flashy thing, like a director or like a lead, you know, but it's like if the PAs all disappeared, the entire production would just fall apart in a second.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is true. I feel like it's always those smaller jobs that people take for granted, that if those people suddenly stopped doing what they were doing, everything would kind of grind to a halt.
I mean, I guess that's like, you just described the whole like essential worker thing at the start of the pandemic, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, all, like suddenly grocery workers were like the most important role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always things that people don't think about, you know? Like people who work in waste management, like that kind of thing. Like if all of the garbage men suddenly disappeared, like we'd have a problem, you know? But it's always like infrastructure kind of things that people, you know, those little, it's not little, but it's like, you know, those jobs that don't get attention.
Right. It's like those background.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I guess that's what they were trying to do in this episode, where they're talking about Sokka is the one who reads the maps and, you know, keeps our morale up and everything, as opposed to pulling out, well, you know, remember that time that we would have, like, drowned an entire village if you hadn't evacuated them? Or, like...
Yeah. Like, Aang and Katara literally didn't even know what island they were on.
Yeah.
Sokka knows and Appa knows.
It would be literally and figuratively lost.
Yeah. I mean, him. I feel like, I guess like hearing all of this, it's like, oh, it would have been nicer if in the episode, because I feel like even while these revelations were being shown, like to us and like to the characters, I almost feel like it was still not like played as a joke, but I feel like it's like, can Sokka have like he had a few like serious moments in this episode, but it's still, I still feel like there was never like that moment I wanted to see where the friends were just like, oh, you know what? Like you actually like do a lot and like we don't treat you like you do, sort of thing. Where it's not even that they owe him an apology so much as it's just like, oh shit, like you, I didn't realize that kind of thing.
To like tie it in or something. It was almost implied, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they probably just don't want to like hit you over the head with it too much.
No, I totally get that, but I feel like, I don't know for sure, but I'm like, I'm sure in the very next episode, like they're gonna make fun of, like this is, it's just gonna go back to how it was, like, and he's gonna get made fun of for something. I don't actually know. But I wouldn't be
He gets made fun of for something in every single episode. So.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, though. But it's like what Nicole was saying, where it's just like that death by a thousand cuts of like, you hear it as a joke enough and you start to believe it.
Right.
So it'd be interesting if like the type of joke started to change.
Yeah. Mm.
But then it's like his humor is such a huge like core part of the show. Yeah. Or like not even his humor. Like he has like his sense of humor is very different than like the humor that is afflicted onto him. Like, you know, like those are two different things. Just like him getting attacked by like a goose.
Yeah. Constantly. I think it also showed like how boring it would be if he didn't exist with the group. Like, what would they even do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I guess this is also just like that thing we've talked about in the past too, where like, again, like, yeah, his character is like so contradictory all the time. And like, not in a bad way. It's like, again, it's like everybody's multifaceted. I get that. But it's still like, he simultaneously played as like the like inventor, idea, strategist, but then he's also like kind of a dummy. But I also like, I totally get that because it's like, you're, you know, when you're in your element, you're like no untouchable. But when it's like something different, you're just like,
yeah,
you know, you have like maybe below average intelligence on like a particular subject.
I feel like they really leaned into that with all the little activities that Piando had him do.
Yeah.
Where it was like, he approached all of them in such like a unique Sokka kind of way.
That's true.
Where it was like he did everything like wrong, quote unquote, but like,
but did he?
Yeah, exactly.
It was almost like the opposite of that of the King of Omashu episode with Aang, right? Where Aang had to complete three tasks and he kept going at them straightforward, and then he had to learn that he had to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sokka was just like right out the gate. He was like, I'm just gonna smear paint all over my face. Like, which, by the way, if that entire training montage with Sokka happened in one day, then...
Stop, I was just about to bring that up. I was like, this is so unrealistic.
Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah.
That was the thing I disliked the most, was when they claimed it had been one day. I was like, how dare you?
I'm like, they didn't have to specifically say that it was one day. Like, they could have been like, you've been working hard these past few days. Like, I don't know, give him more time.
No, right? I agree. That made me really
bad. Even just, like, leave a timestamp off entirely. Like...
I get why they had to address it, because like he was so anal about the schedule.
Right.
So then for him to suddenly like be like, fuck the schedule when it happens to be about him is like a little hypocritical no matter who it is. But like, I feel like they could have very easily have handled that. You know, someone could have just been like, oh, like, what about your schedule? And he would have been like, you know, like either play it as a joke or just like, oh, well, like some things are worth going off the beaten path for or whatever.
Yeah, or like this benefits everybody.
And even just like the strategic angle of like, if I have a skill, the value.
Yeah. Even if it was like, if he was just like, oh man, like now I'm the one that threw off the schedule, and then they were like, hey, like that's totally fine, like this is important.
Yeah.
Like, what, you learning new things is important to us all. Like, they could have played it any type of way and not had it been a fucking day. Because I was just like, also, I was like, what? I was like, excuse me?
I'm like, does time even work like that?
That was so annoying.
No.
For him to train, do a task, do more fighting, do another task, do more fighting, do another lesson task, and then fight some more. I was like, why hasn't the sun gone down? Like,
and like climbing up and down the mountains, like, what?
They went up a mountain so he could paint a picture. That should have taken all friggin' day. Like, by itself.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess Piando lives on top of the mountain already, but still.
I don't know. All this does is tell me that Piando is a bad teacher.
Oh my god. Too much on day one.
But yet at the end of it all, he's able to go like tete-a-tete with him.
Yeah. Well, I assume that he was kind of like holding back probably, because it wasn't like a real fight. Like, it was like another test.
And I feel like that little thing at the end where he, after he like, you know, finished not killing Sokka, then he had the guy throw the thing and he just caught it on his sword blind. I felt like that was like, that was supposed to be the hint to us that like, oh yeah, he wasn't really seriously trying to kill Sokka. Sokka would have been dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, when he was just like, it certainly was not your skills that impressed me.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that, though, because it's kind of like, it's not that he like gained, I said it before, but it's not that he gained a new skill that like is the point of the episode.
Yeah.
It's that Sokka himself, but I guess also the audience, is supposed to like learn to appreciate the attributes that he already has.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes me feel better if they don't imply that he literally learned how to sword fight very well in one day, because
that just bothers
me so much.
Yeah.
Also, like, moving the meteorite and then subsequently making a sword out of a meteorite in, like, roughly half a day that was annoying to me too.
Yeah.
Like, are we working with space Earth all the time? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna need like a practice batch before you get the good ones. Like, what are you doing? Also, like, holy shit, like the amount of effort it must have taken in like the olden days to like maintain a fire to like like sword making back then looks impossible.
Yeah, he was doing it overnight. I did appreciate that Pian Dao was the one who forged the sword. It wasn't Sokka.
Yeah, yeah.
If Sokka had done it, I would have been like, hold up.
We're taking this a little too far.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was trying to find, I don't remember where it had said it. Like, Miko was saying Pian Dao. He was like, that's a weird name. And I was just like, is that really surprising? I don't know if
it
like
has something to do with swords.
Yeah, but it was like Miko was like hearing Pian and Dao, and he was just like, I think he like roughly translated it to like different path or something. And it, like, he kind of was like, oh, is it like not a play on words or whatever, but it was like off the beaten path sort of thing, where he's like, maybe that's it. I didn't look into the extras. We didn't look at characters.
I mean, if that's true, then that makes sense.
That was just him like hearing the names being spoken, which I feel like on Avatar is just like a mixed bag of like what you're gonna get.
Yes, it is. I feel like I read something that said like, oh, so a Pian Dao is a slashing saber, a deeply curved Chinese sword, which was very rare. It's probably a reference to him being a sword master.
I mean, probably.
Yeah, I know. And then, like, despite his name, he actually uses the straight-bladed short sword.
But, like, the thing that Miko said, like, if that was true, that would track, though, because the entire thing was...
Yeah, I feel like that's also why he's like, oh, maybe that's part of it. But yeah, like he was just like Pian, 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 like trying to, it's like, oh, like this word? And I was like, I don't know. Yonase.
It killed me the way that Sokka like handled that calligraphy brush, squished it down.
Oh my god, I wrote that down too.
I thought about you.
In like all caps, I was like, stop hurting the brush.
I know, and the way he put the ink in it too, I was like, boy, please.
Oh my god.
Like, he was just like destroying the bristles before he even did anything. I was like, Sokka, please.
I was like, I wonder if he even knows how to write his name in like the Fire Nation style. And if that was why he like was I mean, it's also the fact that literally you can't take anything back. There's no eraser when you're doing calligraphy. Mm-hmm. But
oh my god, he's the villain from Terminator 2. Sorry, I had to look up the voice actor because I was like, he was definitely a white guy. He was the villain, like, Terminator in Terminator 2. Wild.
That's so random.
Robert Patrick.
Is that the one where the guy became, like, liquid?
Yeah, he was the liquid guy.
Okay.
Anyway.
Huh. Interesting.
I hear it now, because I saw him in something recently, and now I can't remember what, but it doesn't matter. But I was going to say, too, that Miko and I were, like, not used to the type of sword fighting that he was doing, where it felt, like, a lot more, like, stabby and a lot more, like, quick movements instead of, like, big sweeping sword play. And, like, knowing he was based off of the, like, Sifu Kisu, I was just like, oh, maybe that's, like, I don't know, like, just, like, a different style that, like, he wanted to do for the character. But it just felt, like, different than, like, what we've seen. But I guess, like, to be fair, it's, like, a lot of what we see in a lot of, like, Asian, like, you know, mostly Chinese action films, it's the wuxia style. And it's, like, based on, like, Chinese opera. So it's, like, it's going to be a lot more flowy and, like, big movements and stuff versus, like, practical fighting, which I feel like you don't...
Right.
See a lot, like, even films that try to play it straight and have, like, actual sword fighting, even just the way that characters hold the sword is usually incorrect, and, like, so much of it is done just so that it looks cool and that it's not actually accurate. So then I was just like, oh, well, maybe this is just, like, how it would actually play out in a real fight, and that, like, that's the benefit of having an actual martial artist on the scene.
Right.
That, like, I'm used to seeing a fake version, that's so that the real version doesn't look correct. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of, like, the little block parry type moves he did where it was, like, stab very small circle to, like, kind of try to get the other guy's sword. That's in, you know, the, like, 5 minutes of fencing I did. That was, like, I recognized it from that, you know, all those kinds of moves.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The only sword classes I took when I worked on Nimona, we had like a guy come in, but that was just like your classic like European style, not broadsword, but like just like standard medieval sword, like a long sword. And it was just like, again, it was like, yeah, even the way that like a lot of films have them hold it is just like not correct.
Right.
But it's like, this is also just different.
It's all for the aesthetic.
Yeah. Oh my god, speaking of like the weapons and aesthetics, like Aang's like... His like fucking like anime outfit was crazy.
With the, I liked the little gleam of light that like didn't go away even when they changed
angle. Yeah, and that like the thing thing, like the little like cloth was like constantly flowing despite them being indoors with no wind. And I read in the art book, they had said that that was not a parody, but that was like a kind of an inside joke, because apparently when they were like making toys for this show, like the toy manufacturers mm-hmm. came to them and like they wanted Aang to like have a weapon or have armor. Like they wanted, like they're like, we have to have something more for this figure. And they were like, that's not who he is. So then this was like the joke, was just to like make him crazy. And like, it is really funny. Like, it's only on screen for a really short time, but like looking in the art book, it's like absolutely mental.
Yeah. It looked like a crazy video game character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it and I was like, okay, this has to be a reference, right? Yeah. I was like, what character is this a reference to?
This outfit? They said this joke and subsequent design were inspired by our frustrating experiences of working on the Avatar toy line and the incessant requests we received to put Aang in inappropriate armor. It also represents much of what we don't connect with in the bizarre world of anime. And like that, I'm like a little like, I get that. As much as I'm an anime fan, I'm just like, that's fair.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's
overly complicated.
Yeah. I feel like as a fan of Digimon, I can't really criticize.
I liked when he was like, all I need now is a wind sword. That's when I just hold a handle and I turn my winding into a sword.
It would be so much cognitive overload. Like, I'm watching My Hero Academia right now and they have like suits to complement their powers. Uh-huh. But it's just like so convoluted in how they need to manipulate the contraptions in order to like get the right amount of power from their own natural talent. And it's just like, how do you have time to calculate all of this as you're trying to like not blow up the city and like rescue people and defeat the villains?
Yeah.
That's actually something really funny to think about. God. It only takes a day to get better per this episode. So
oh my God.
I'm just
stop.
Saying. We're all failing right now. Iroh can get ripped and Sokka can like get the basics of sword fighting. Like, we're all fucking up right now.
Oh my God.
We have no excuse.
Oh yeah, plot twist. We thought a lot of time was passing with Iroh, but actually Iroh's episode all took place in one day also.
It was the same exact day, actually.
Yeah, how many meals did he eat in a day? Like,
those were just all those meals, you know, that wasn't his one meal a day. That was his three square meals that he gets.
Because if we think about it, it's the same shifts for this guy. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
See, and none of you, you're doubting us, but it's like, have you actually tried to work out in a whole day? Because if you did, you'd get abs, but you're never going to do it. So you're never going to get abs.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Just work out for like, do push-ups 24 hours straight.
Oh my God. It's a fast way to pass the hell out. God. Oh my God. That sounds so unhealthy.
Oh my God.
This is just like, there's no healthy extreme on like on either side of the spectrum.
What was it though? The solution to it all. I know it'll make you feel better. Shopping. And I was like, you're right.
Yes. I was like, I love this for him.
Yeah.
This has become consistent characterization for Sokka, and I love that.
Yes, it's so funny. Shopping. Oh,
that
Sokka.
Did make me laugh. It was so funny.
Yo, I didn't mention it, but like, I appreciated how last episode we saw that he still had that bag he bought in the other shopping trip to cheer him up way back in season two. Like,
definitely, I thought he left it behind several times, but it's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's also like, I feel like the last time we like got annoyed at their campsite, I feel like it was when the dangerous ladies, like wasn't it the time they couldn't sleep well, and then like they had to abandon their whole campsite, and I feel like that annoyed us all.
I assume they went back though, because they like purposely, it wasn't like they abandoned it like
but then
in a rush.
When Appa got stolen and all their stuff,
yeah.
Like the
sandbenders. Oh, that's true. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And that wasn't their fault.
I feel like it's
still.
Never their fault, except like one or two times where at the early in the show where like we were just like, you had time, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, Sokka had his club again in this episode.
Oh, like continuity.
Even though the sandbender kicked it.
But they met back up with Water Tribe people, so maybe he got a new one.
Oh, that's true.
That's fair.
This one did have some sort of, like, thing streaming out at the end.
Yeah.
That it didn't
you
used to have.
You picked up a new one.
Some sort of, like, tassel.
Okay.
Because they showed that sandbender literally kick his club and be like, this is a piece of junk.
Which, like, I remember we all were, like, upset. We're just like, let him have something.
Now that I think about it, maybe, do you think he bought a duplicate bag? Like, what if this is, like, one bag that exists in, like, every market in the whole, like, Earth Kingdom, Fire Nation?
Oh my God, stop.
Like, you think this is the one place you can get it, and then you go to the next tourist site, and it's the same shit.
Honestly, I feel like that's, like, anytime.
But cheaper.
But I'll say, don't you do that? Like, if you find a shirt you really like, you'll buy it in, like, multiple colors.
And then where is all this money coming from? I have a lot of questions, but it's fine.
I guess that's what Toph also meant when she talked about the hero worship she misses. Where it's like,
oh yeah, getting stuff for free.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens. That's like at the end when I forgot what it was in the little pouch that Pian Dao's butler gave them, where I was like, is that just a bag of money?
I thought it was money too.
I was like, what the fuck? Something to remember him by.
Seriously, like, what the hell? And then it was the White Lotus tile, and I was like, oh, you know what?
I mean, I also forgot. I thought maybe it was a bit of the meteorite, and I was like, that's weird. Why would Pian Dao have to give that to them? That feels weird.
Yeah, I thought that too, because I remembered that Toph gets some.
I was glad when it turned out Sokka had thought of Toph and not, like, friggin' Pian Dao. Like,
I was trying to remember when she got the meteor piece, because I remember she gets it.
Speaking of the meteor piece, did you see her make the Nickelodeon logo?
Yeah.
Is that what that was? Obviously. I was like, that's a really weird shape to make. Okay. Yeah, I was like, that's weird.
I laughed out loud. I was like, oh my god, I haven't seen that in like forever.
Yeah.
Because is their logo different now?
It's like, I mean, they don't use the splat anymore. Now it's just like their name is stylized in all lowercase.
Mm. Yeah. That like sort of 3D-ish looking.
But like the splat was huge in like the 90s and like the early 2000s for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Our prime watching years for sure.
Yes.
Because it was all about like the slime there. And there was like a Nickelodeon where I remember, oh my god, it telling my college students that like there was a Nickelodeon theme park. And they just were like, what? And I was like, no, I'm serious. Because it's like slime was, I was like, slime was such a huge part of the Nickelodeon's branding for like my entire childhood. And then now it's it's like they do it at the Kids' Choice Awards, but I feel like it's so without context anymore that it's like weird.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, what do these kids know about this?
It's true. If it's like a weird holdover, like if people haven't seen the gazillions of Nickelodeon shows with slime, and then they just watch one award show where for some reason they're dumping slime on people, they must be so confused.
Like, oh, this is this thing they do at this award show once a year randomly, and I'm like, there was so much more. Like, there are so many game shows and like little like specials and stuff in between TV shows and like special events and stuff. But
you know what, this just like reminded me of that show Figure It Out.
I was just thinking of that.
I loved that show.
I love Figure It Out.
They got slimed on that one.
Yeah,
I was thinking of
so often.
If this is a non-slime show, but Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
Oh well,
like, that was my.
There was another game show.
Yo, remember a few days ago, guys, when I texted you that I had a dream about Avatar and I just made up an Avatar episode in my dream? I was thinking in the dream. I was thinking while I was like watching this episode. Oh man, on this episode of Pod Sing Say, I'm gonna talk about how much I miss Legends of the Hidden Temple because that's what this episode is reminding me of.
Oh, man, the kids on that show used to piss me off, though.
They're in a high-pressure situation.
I understand that as an adult.
I was just about to say, like, I can't put together a three-thing figurine.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's literally three pieces.
I watched that weird movie they have on, like, Netflix. Oh, I watched it. And they actually, the funniest thing in it was that they made multiple jokes about not being able to put together a three-piece puzzle.
Good. I'm glad they know their target audience's feelings on the matter.
I was like, they're putting small children on blast right now, but it was hilarious.
I watched the Dora live action movie recently.
I
legitimately liked it. It's really corny and cute.
I was really surprised when I watched it. I was like, I was not expecting it to be so Dora. I wasn't expecting there to be like a goddamn CGI animals.
It was, I can't say that I knew what I was expecting and it wasn't this, but I didn't mind it.
Interesting.
So it was very, you know what, I had just seen, I mean, not too long ago, I had seen Finding Ohana, and, like, they're very, they're in, like, that, I feel like Finding Ohana, honestly, like, has a bit more heart and weight to it, but they're, like soul sisters, for sure.
Interesting.
I just watched Finding Ohana with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun movie to watch. My sister and I were cracking jokes the whole time, because it's that kind of movie, you know, like, you can't take it too seriously.
No.
So.
I feel like that's, like, most of the Nickelodeon movies are just like,
yes,
they're just like whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're also like no longer the target audience.
True.
Also true.
So
that doesn't stop us from watching and enjoying.
I was like, that doesn't stop us from being an entire podcast about
the target audience for like the Hidden Temple movie and Dora the movie, because those movies are just about the nostalgia value, though.
It's also like stuff we vaguely grew up watching. Like, I think we were a little bit too old for Dora, but I definitely saw a crap load of Dora.
Yeah.
Because it was like, if you were homesick, you just were screwed because it was just Nick Jr. the entire day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I actually went to high school with the girl who voices Backpack.
Aw.
Yeah, I like sat next to her in choir all the time.
That's so cool.
She's got a cute voice.
Did she do dance? Because one of my high school friends said that she went to dancing school with the girl who voiced Backpack, and I need to know if it was true.
Oh my gosh.
Probably.
Okay. Mm.
I wasn't friends with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just like were adjacent.
Yeah. Just existed in the same place.
There's one thing in this episode that I was like, is this allowed? And I wonder if all of you know what I'm about to say. But when Piandao was like, oh, of course I knew you are part of the Water Tribe. Your name is Sokka. You should have picked Lee. There's a million Lees. And I was like, can you say that? I was like, is this allowed?
Oh my God.
I get it. This is really weird.
Yeah. Miko is also just like, I mean, he's not wrong, but like.
Exactly. I was like, yes, it's accurate, but.
I feel like they probably meant it as like a joke
with poking Zuko.
At like Zuko, where that was his like fake name.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was just like, LOL, Zuko's fake name is Lee. And I don't know, maybe I'm just like, what's the word? I don't know, not dumb, but in.
You're just like desensitized to it.
I don't pick up on things. Yeah, maybe things just go over my head. But I was just like, oh, you know, that's like the. This is like, of course it's Lee because they're in an Asian world. I was like, if it was here in like America, it would have been John. Yeah. Like
Smith.
Yeah.
Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
John Smith.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It hit me a little bit. I was like, uh-oh. But I guess it's like, it makes sense. But...
Yeah. I feel like that's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't have that experience with like Latino names. I have a friend named Olu from, he's from Nigeria. His family's from Nigeria. And, like, he's just, like, Olu is, like, the John of Nigeria. Because I was like, oh, I went to school with somebody named Olu, too. And he's like, yeah, that's not surprising. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was like, everyone's got that, I guess, somewhere.
That's so funny.
Yeah. You know, it's like Nicole or Stephanie or Jen.
I feel like Jennifer even more than, like, Nicole or Stephanie. Mm. Like, Stephanie, I feel like if you hear it, you're like, oh, that is a baby that was born in the 80s or the 90s.
Oh, I guess for me, it's like because everywhere I go, there's another Nicole.
Mm. Yeah. So.
Like even our like extended friend group. Yeah.
Even our extended friend group. We had another Nicole, M-A, syllable, N-O.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God. I didn't even make that like,
that's
connection.
Why we called them by their last names. It felt incredibly impersonal, but you couldn't even be like, oh, Nicole M, because they were both Nicole M. Right.
Like in school, in like middle school and stuff too, I would always have this problem. Like you couldn't, like sometimes you would go to the next letter, but like that didn't work all the time either. Nicole M.A., come on. Like Nicole Mantione was always right next to me. You know, like Nicole Magno and Machino, they're so similar that even when people would say our last names to differentiate us, we would still get confused sometimes.
There was another Jen growing up. So I couldn't be Jen because she was Jen. So growing up, I was Jenny. And I got to a point where I, like, didn't want to be Jenny anymore because I was like, I'm an adult. I was, like, not an adult. I was, like, 15.
You were like, what is this? Ed, and Eddie? Come on.
But I couldn't be Jen until, like, we went to different schools.
Oh, my God.
She called dibs on it.
Yeah, she's like, you can't be Jen. I'm Jen. And I was, like, too, like, big of a baby back then.
We're both Jen.
Yeah. I feel like the conversation has sidetracked enough where I'm like, does anybody have anything else to say about the episode specifically? Like, I think we're like at that point, right?
Yeah. I felt the White Lotus tile was really large for a pie show tile, but I don't know the logistics.
Yeah.
It was just like a copy of like that he keeps for his own set. And because he lives in a McMansion, he has just like one of those gigantic.
It's not an official game piece and Ira would call him out immediately.
It's a collector's edition. Like you don't actually play it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I also love that there were like 10,000 lion turtles everywhere.
Yes!
And
so cool.
He even was like, oh, like he said something about the heart of a lion turtle. And one of the Avatar extras said that the average size of a lion turtle heart is 12 appas. Which I'm like, that's large. Yeah. I was like, I didn't need that fact. And now I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh my God. I feel like that does a great job of simultaneously like, yeah, that's like a weird mental picture. But I get like they're trying to point out like just the scope of this creature.
Yeah. Like it's
but, like,
huge.
What a choice. Like to use. You could have been, like, it's the size, I don't know. Like, I feel like when people talk about, it's like, oh, like, blue whales' hearts are, like, the size of a van or something. I don't know. It's, like, less weird for some reason than 12, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't know.
I loved at the beginning, just like them just like stargazing together on the roof was just really cute. And then Toph like making a blind joke was just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, girl.
Oh, and I love how Sokka was cute. Like, you've never not seen anything like this.
Yeah, when the meteor, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
As like a really random little detail going off the Toph is blind thing, I liked how Katara and Aang poked their heads around the corner to like spy on Sokka while he was tending the fire, and Toph didn't because she's blind.
Oh my god, it's so true.
I appreciate this consistent, like, these when they do these little things showing that they remember that Toph is blind. Because I feel like a lot of shows and movies just kind of forget because it's for the gag, and they like forget that realistically that doesn't work.
Or like they would have had her like belatedly poke her head out with kind of just like a shit-eating smile and just like, this is useless. But
this seems to be what everybody else is doing.
like even when the meteor crashed and they all looked, and then like once it hit the ground, she came running up behind them.
Also, and like she was the first one to notice when Sokka came back because she felt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were all looking at the sky, but she could see.
Cute. All right. I feel like, is anybody's MVP not Sokka?
No.
Yeah.
My runner-up is Pia and Dao.
I mean...
Oh, not Iroh as runner-up? Just for, like, getting fit as fuck.
For, like blessing us with his abs.
He does it for making us all deeply insecure.
No. I'm living with my parents. I get enough of feeling like you don't work out enough without watching Iroh like turn buff in one episode.
Yeah, in one day.
One day.
One single day. Three square meals.
Earlier when I said that thing to Abby, I was like, that was literally just echoing my own thoughts literally earlier today when I was like, should I like try to do some sit-ups? If Iroh can do it.
To be fair, like Sokka's situation is a little, you know, questionable, but like I think the implication is that Iroh's been working out this whole time.
One day.
I know, but like
I know.
Stephanie, you would know if you followed the Iroh workout regime that we could.
You're right. I should just have like one bowl of rice, eat half of it off the floor, and then just like and then just work myself to exhaustion. Sounds like a plan.
And then just sit on the floor and just clap, just sing a happy song to just cool down yeah. Exercise. Let's see, what else? Zuko was not in the episode.
R.I.P.
Therefore, honor was not had. So we're still at 7, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I guess, like, yeah, anybody have a favorite particular moment or line?
Well, runner-up is the what's up with Katara's hair. But my favorite is probably... You added a rainbow. And Sokka was like, is that allowed?
Oh my god.
Like, that was, yes. Also, he didn't even draw a waterfall at all anywhere in that painting.
Yeah, I was like,
I noticed
it was mountains.
I think I just really liked the entire, like, final test fight between Sokka and Pien Dao at the end. And just, like, you know, how he was, like, praising him the entire time. And I think particularly, like, all the stuff with the bamboo, I was like, this is cool. So.
Oh, see, I was just like, that poor bamboo.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Bamboo grows really fast.
That's true, it does.
It's like a weed, technically.
Yeah.
I feel like mine was just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, we talked about this, but, like, I resonated a lot with, like, Sokka's, like, insecurity monologues that he had at the beginning and like, end. So I'm like, those were nice to see him. Yeah. Yeah.
If any of the viewers listening to this for some reason didn't, let us know, because...
Tell us your ways.
Who are you?
Yeah.
What's it like to be secure?
Yeah. Let us know in the comments.
Validate us. Tell us you're listening.
Oh my gosh. Too much. Abby, I don't know if you have one.
No, I think it was the overall tone and message from Pien Dao to Sokka. Like, you had it the whole time. And it just took this exercise for you to realize it. And that's fine. Because sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All that stuff. That whole creativity, versatility, intelligence. And, like, even, like, at the beginning, just as imagination is limitless, so too is the possibility of the sword. And it was just like, Sokka!
Oh my god. Everything you just said made my brain split on, like, one way to Figment's song. and then the other half to, like, the Captain Planet of just, like, Sokka being, like, Heart and, like, that being the punchline.
He is Heart.
I know, he is Heart. It's not a punchline, guys! I know. That's, like, the moral of this.
Yes.
It's, like, Heart is valid, too. All right, on that note, I'll end it.
This has been Pod Sing Se, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week when we will discuss Book 3, Chapter 5, The Beach. If you haven't already, please leave a rating and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you soon. Bye!